Good morning. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Kent. My name is Elaine Bowen, and I am serving as the worship associate today for our service leader, Andrew Franz. And I am joined by our musical director, Hal Walker, and our religious education coordinator, Colleen Taylor. We are glad you are with us today. Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. We are delighted to have a guest in the pulpit this morning. Andrew Franz is known to many of us as Andy, although he now prefers to use the nickname Drew. He has been active in the UU denomination and church in our district for the last 16 years, including many youth conventions, or cons, and a leadership role at Summer Institute, which is our UU summer camp. Drew is a member of the UU Fellowship in Oberlin, but now serves the UU Fellowship of Wayne County in Worcester as their ministerial intern. Drew is now in his second year of seminary training at the Meadville Lombard Theological School and plans to go into parish ministry when he graduates. We are delighted to have him share our pulpit and our sanctuary this morning. Our chalice lighting is by Lois E. Van Leer from a wonderful book called Lifting Our Voices, which are readings in the living tradition. We light this chalice not because we must, but because we may. We light this chalice not because we have the truth, but because we each come bearing and seeking many truths. We light this chalice in connection across culture, distance, class, and language. We light this chalice that our religion may be a beacon of light, hope, and justice. We light this chalice to kindle our hearts and our minds.
Enter, rejoice, and come in. Today will be a joyful day. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Don't be afraid of some change. Open your ears to the song. Today will be a joyful day. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Open your hearts, everyone. Today will be a joyful day. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Don't be afraid of some change. Today will be a joyful day. Enter, rejoice, and come in. And everybody sing along. Here we go. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Today will be a joyful day. Enter, rejoice, and come in.
We arrive out of many singular rooms, walking over the branching streets. We come to be assured that brothers and sisters surround us, to restore their images on our eyes. We enlarge our voices in common speaking and singing. We try again the solitude found in the midst of those who with us seek their hidden reckonings. Our eyes reclaim the remembered faces. Their voices stir the surrounding air. The warmth of their hands assures us, and the gladness of our spoken names. This is the reason of cities, of homes, of assemblies in the houses of worship. It is good to be with one another.
During the month of January last year, the children and youth of our church took a break from their regular RE classes to envision a better world. We spent time considering some really tough things. We talked about racism, poverty, discrimination, among other wounds that our society holds. Through meditation, music, and art, we spent time dreaming of a better world and what that would look and feel like. And finally, we spent time planning and asking the question, what can one little person do to change this world? And by the end of our intercession, each child had identified a dream that they wanted to work on. So this January, we will continue this important work and focus on acts of brave love. We will design strategies for speaking out and doing the right thing. We will talk about how to summon up the love inside them and the courage inside them when they feel nervous or sad. We will talk about how hard it is sometimes to do the right thing, and that there will be days when they feel discouraged. And we will come up with strategies for those days too. And they will learn things from the kid president. I don't know if you've heard about him yet, but a few years ago, kid president came on the scene, and he's one of the many multimedia experiences that we are using in this year's intercession. Kids, I need you to start thinking about how you're going to make the world a better place, okay? And as we sing you to your classrooms, let's whisper, keep going, keep going, keep going.
Please join me now in the spirit of prayer. Spirit of light and love, spirit of mystery and wonder, we call upon you today, if you are indeed a you. But whatever force is in the universe, please help us. Please help us to understand the bad things that happen. And please, we beg, bring light and love to those hearts that do harm. Let us be the light. Let us be the hope. Let us be the love that brings us from these sorrows into a new, better, and blessed day. We may each be one, but together we are many. The power of love will always, always overtake the power of evil and hate. Believe it to be so with every fiber of your being, with every spark of your spirit, with the depth of your soul. Amen, and blessed be.
Perhaps these thoughts of ours will never find an audience. Perhaps the mistaken road will end in a mistake. Perhaps the lamps we light one at a time will be blown out one at a time. Perhaps the candles of our lives will gutter out without lighting a fire to warm us.
Perhaps when all the tears have been shed, the earth will be more fertile. Perhaps when we sing praises to the sun will praise us in return. Perhaps these heavy burdens will strengthen our philosophy. Perhaps when we weep for those in misery, we must be silent about miseries of our own. Perhaps because of our irresistible sense of mission, we have no choice.
Such a joy to be here. Thank you, Hal. Thank you, Elaine. Thank you, Colleen. Thanks to all of you for being here, and I welcome you if it's your first time here or your 100th time here. No, not your last time. No. I invite you to join me this morning on a journey of imagination and vision. To take a moment here in this place of safety and community to imagine what will it look like when we've achieved the world we're working for. Imagine that the hard work has paid off, the governmental and societal structures have shifted, and we have now arrived at the society we've dreamed of. What would it look like in your home? What would it look like on the streets of this city? What would it look like within the walls of this church? On my bedroom wall at home, I have a poster-sized drawing that I made. I was at a retreat, and all the participants were asked to draw what we wanted our future lives to look like. The drawing shows me planting in my garden. It shows me connecting with my loved ones. It shows me pursuing this call to ministry, working for social justice, creating community, doing pastoral care. And in that drawing, prominently, it shows me at a pulpit that looks a lot like this one. The point is that when we envision the future and work for it, our dreams can come true. My intention this morning is to dream positively rather than focusing on the negative reality of the way things are. And I will end with some ideas of how we get from here to the land we dream of. Now, I've got a funny question. When I asked you a minute ago to imagine the ideal future, when you pictured that, what were the people wearing? Clothing may seem like a superficial or, you know, a shallow topic, but actually it's a meaningful one, especially since in my remarks this morning I'm going to focus on gender and sexuality, and I'm going to focus on religion as I describe my ideal future. Brothers, let me start by addressing you. And I'm thinking about clothing, and I was thinking, why is it that for men, those of us who are born as men or identify as men or both, why is it that the choices seem so narrow and that we don't dress colorfully? Well, I sort of did this morning. But I still, when I get dressed, I'm trying to conform. I'm trying to look like a man. I'm trying to look like a minister. In the world that I'm working for, men will feel free to dress colorfully, creatively, expressively. Men will not feel trapped in a narrow version of masculinity, either in their clothing or in their behavior. But it's not men that I'm most worried about when I think about my ideal version of the future. So let me address my sisters now, those who identify as women. I live in Worcester, Ohio, and I'm taking a class there. I'm at the College of Worcester. I'm auditing the class. That means I'm the 49-year-old in the classroom with all the 19 and 20-year-olds. It's a class on Islam, and we were discussing the practice in Muslim societies of women wearing a veil or a hijab. And we discussed clothing more generally. And two comments that my young classmates made really hit me. One young woman said, "When I dress in America, and depending on how I dress, I'm sexualized in a certain way. And it's different from when I'm in India," she said. "I'm sexualized in a certain way." Another young woman said, "Men stare at women and make them uncomfortable. Like, that's given. So maybe wearing a veil is a welcome retreat from the male gaze." I see some of my sisters nodding. Yeah, I needed to hear that as a man. In the world I'm working for, women of all shapes and sizes will feel free to express themselves through their clothing and their appearance, not because they need to conform to a certain standard of beauty, but because they are choosing how to show up in the world. And women will be safe from sexual harassment and abuse in the society I am working for. Next, I'll address my siblings, those who may not identify with either brothers or sisters, if you're transgender or gender nonconforming. And I'm thinking about clothing, because I realize that to get dressed in our society is to perform gender, or perhaps to deliberately be countercultural and subvert the binary gender identity. I'm trying, as a cisgendered person, to honor the struggle of my transgender siblings. In the world I'm working for, transgender people, gender non-conforming people, will be who you want to be. You will never have to hide who you are. You will never have to pretend you're something you're not. And you will have the rights and benefits that the rest of us have now. Because in the world I'm dreaming of, transgender rights are the law. Gay rights are the law. Women's rights are the law. I'm thinking of the Equal Rights Amendment, but inclusive of all genders and sexual orientations. Trans rights are human rights, Elaine. I got you. Okay, I told you I wasn't going to dwell on the negative aspects of our society, but I'm going to break my rule for a minute here, because I'm shifting to talk about religious inclusion. So I live in Worcester, and at the College of Worcester, I've heard some of the administrators tell this story. They say that when they have scholars, students visiting from Muslim-majority countries, the parents of those students will come to the administrators and ask, "Is it safe for my child to walk on the streets of the city and in the places of business?" Right? And the best answer that those administrators can give is, "Well, we have people who are willing to walk with them." That's the best we can do. In Ohio, in the United States of America, we can't tell the parents of a visiting scholar, "Your child is safe on our streets if they look like a Muslim." Okay, I'm done with my little rant. I'm supposed to be sharing a positive vision of the future. I see a future society in which Muslim women are free to wear the veil or the hijab, or to not wear it as their personal choice, and no one will be harassed because of it. I see a future in which people are free to wear the turban of the Sikh tradition, to wear the cross of the Christian tradition, Atheists can wear nothing at all if they want. Al got it. We can wear the symbols of our UU tradition, and in the ideal world that I'm dreaming of, more people will recognize this symbol to mean that all faiths and all people are welcome here. That's the world that I'm dreaming of. There's a Confucian scholar named Tu Wei Ming, and he teaches that in the Confucian tradition, the self is at the center. So the primary spiritual task is the improvement of the self. And then by improving ourselves, we affect the circles in going outward, like our families, our loved ones, right? Our communities, our gender identities, our race, our city, our nation, all of humanity. But the self is at the center. So as I move towards closing today, I want to offer two ideas on how we can hasten the arrival of the world that we're working for. First, I'll talk about the level of the self, and then at the level of the community, specifically the church community. Today, I focused on gender and sexuality and on religion. I could have talked about the ideal future in terms of race and culture, in terms of the environment, but I limited myself for the sake of time. So, what can I do as an individual to bring about the world that I'm dreaming of with regard to gender and sexuality? As a man, I can embrace my masculinity and my feminine traits as well, as living proof that gender identity does not need to be a rigid box. As a man, I can speak out against sexual harassment, and also I can work to be sure that I never make women feel uncomfortable due to my comments, my actions, or even the way that I look at them. And I can educate myself about transgender oppression, seeking to be an ally in the movement for social acceptance and political rights for my transgender siblings. That's what I can do. When it comes to religious inclusion, what can I do as an individual for the vision of religious inclusion that I'm talking about? I can learn about other faiths. I can speak up to protest when they are under attack, especially the anti-Muslim rhetoric and policies that have gained power in our society. That's what I can do. What can we do as a community, this specific church community, to hasten the arrival of the world we're working for? Now here, instead of statements, I have some questions for you. So open your hearts to my questions. When it comes to sexual harassment, what is the role of our church in the vigorous public dialogue happening now? Where's our voice? What should our voice be in that dialogue? When it comes to sexual harassment, how can we as a church ensure that sexual harassment does not happen and will not happen here in our committees, in our coffee hour, among our professional staff? When it comes to the transgender and gender nonconforming people, those who are already with us and those who are going to walk through our doors, how can we, and here by we I mean those of us who are cisgender, how can we be welcoming and not smothering? How can we be respectful and engaging to create the world that we dream of that's possible? And finally, when it comes to religion, Let's look in the mirror and think about this. What religions do we prefer in this church? What religions do we tolerate in this church? Which religions do we disdain in these walls? I don't know you all that well, but in other churches, UU churches I've been to, a lot of times we love Buddhism. We're intrigued by paganism. We make lots of space for atheism. But can we handle Christianity? What if I were to stand up here and quote the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 34, where Jesus says, "I give you this new commandment, to love one another as I have loved you, and by this you will be known." Can we handle that? So the question is, how can we make the exchange of religious ideas in this place more fruitful? Thank you for entertaining those hard questions. I began by asking you to dream, and I'm going to end by asking you to commit. This is just like what Colleen was saying about the youth. It's a very close parallel. What do we dream of, and how can we commit to act to make that world? What is one action? Specific, doable action that you can commit to bring yourself as an individual and or to bring this church community closer to the ideal world that you imagine. Something specific and doable. If you're thinking of something really big, I invite you to make it small, like the first step towards that big thing. In this time and place, made sacred by our presence together, I ask you to make that commitment in the silence of your heart. Later, as you are willing, you might share this commitment out loud with someone you trust, someone who can support you and help for you to hold yourself accountable. We need that support and that accountability. What we dream of and what we work for can be achieved when we commit individually and work together. As Reverend Wayne Arneson said, "Take courage, friends. The way is often hard, the path is never clear, and the stakes are very high. Take courage, for deep down there is another truth. You are not alone. Let us move forward toward the future we dream of with courage and with hope."
That I see where the children are free, and I say it ain't far to this land from where we are. Take my hand, come with me where the children are free. Come with me, take my hand, and we'll live in a land where the river runs free, in a land with a sweet country, in a land. I see a land bright and clear, and the time's coming near when we'll live in this land, you and me, hand in hand. Take my hand, come along, lend your voice to my song. Come along, take my hand, sing a song. For a land where the river runs free, for a land through the green country, for a land with a shining sea, for a land where the horses run free, and you and me are free to be, you and me. Every boy in this land grows to be his own man.
land, every girl grows to be her own woman.
Take my hand,
come with me, where the children are free. Come with me, take my hand, and we'll run. In a land where the river runs free, to a land to the shining tree, to a land to the shining sea, to a land where the horses run free. A land where the children are free,
and you and me are free to be.
You and me are free to be.
You and me are free to be.
You and me.
If here you have found freedom, take it with you into the world. If you have found comfort, go and share it with others. If you have dreamed dreams, help one another that they may come true. If you have known love, give some back to a bruised and hurting world. Go in peace.